Greetings and love to all of you who are here in person at the Agoda Satsanga Society Noida Ashram in India. And a special greeting to all of you who are joining us from around the world, YSS and Self-Realization Fellowship members and friends worldwide. It's a joy to greet you from Guruji's homeland, his beautiful, beautiful land of India. And we'll now have a time of meditation together and a time to share some of his inspiration. God and Guru bless and love you all. Jai Guru. I have a question. Are you happy? Good. That's good. Today we're going to be talking about creating lasting happiness. Guruji says that every soul is seeking happiness, no matter what walk of life they come from, no matter what country they're in, every soul is seeking lasting happiness. He says, we are all seeking happiness, a happiness that does not come and go. We want lasting happiness, happiness that is always new and ever-existing. We do not want the kind of happiness that will grow stale. We want ever new joy. Isn't that true? I remember many, many years ago, I was in my early 20s, and at that time I was working in the entertainment industry behind the scenes, making special effects costuming. And in that position, I had access to very famous people and very wealthy people, people that society held up as examples, people that others would strive to be like, people who seemed to have it all. But it didn't take me long to realize, for the most part, these people were not happy. At least they weren't as happy as I thought they could possibly be. They had worked very, very hard to get into the positions that they were in for their fame and their fortune, and they found it hollow. They found it lonely. Many of them turned to drugs, alcohol. Some just got caught up in their egos. It was sad. And so I started to look at my life and I thought, well, where am I going to end up down the line? Am I doing what will make me happy, or am I going to end up miserable? Where do my actions and my thoughts now, where are they leading me? And then I thought, I need an example. And I was brand new to the Self-Realization Fellowship teachings, and I had just started attending the Hollywood Temple in California. And Swami Bhaktananda was the Swami in charge there at that time. And he was happy. And I knew he was happy. He wasn't gregarious. He wasn't going around laughing and trying to cheer people up. It wasn't that external show. He was grounded, deeply happy. And I was with him one time when there were a group of teenagers and they asked him about how to be happy. And he said, you put your mind on God. I have been happy for 63 years. And this wasn't a boast. He wasn't trying to say something great about himself. He was just saying the facts. You put your mind on God. You fill yourself with the presence of God, and that happiness will come. He proved it in his life. Many have proved it in their lives. Guruji said, meditate. Practice the techniques in the lessons, and you will learn to live in that eternal happiness and peace, which is God. Meditation and connecting our lives with God is really the only way we're going to fill that void. most people in the general public are not overly happy. Many people don't realize that they actually can have joy. They actually can experience something blissful. So they don't strive for it because they don't know that it's a possibility. Now, those of you who've been drawn to this path, you know. That's why you're here. You've had glimpses of it. You've had maybe even more than glimpses of it. You know that it's possible. Still, there are times when we sometimes are unhappy, aren't there? Times when we feel like, I don't know what to do to get out of this pit. So, in the beginning, it will take perseverance. It will take some effort, some acts of will to change ourselves back into joyful, happy beings. And I say back because that's our nature. That's what we came out of. We came from joy. We are, our essence, our nature is joyous, is happy. So we've just forgotten. We've covered over that nature with personalities and habits and fears and worries, and things that drag us down a little. People often think externally that their happiness is going to come from a soulmate, a new car, owning a property. If I only had a job that paid more, if I only had a job that I liked, if I only had something, then I'd be happy. But what happens when we get those things? What happens? There's some satisfaction for a while because we've achieved a goal. We have gone after something and we've gotten it. We've achieved that goal. But then it gets old. It doesn't have that same thrill anymore, so we start seeking something else externally. Or we discover that that soulmate is actually a human being like us, with flaws like us. I think it's unfortunately a little bit common to blame our troubles on our partner and to say, well, he makes me feel this way, or she makes me feel that way. There's no possession, there's no human being, there's no circumstances that can fill that void that the absence of awareness of God has left within us. Recently, I was going through some of my parents' things. They've recently passed away, and my mother enjoyed humorous poems. And I came across this poem that, even though the author was trying to be funny, it actually states a profound truth. So this is someone speaking to their beloved about how they feel when the beloved is away, when they're separated for a time. When you're away, I'm restless, lonely, wretched, bored, dejected. Only here's the rub, my darling dear. I feel the same when you are near. How many times in counseling have I been talking to a devotee, to a woman who says, I am married to the most perfect husband. There is nothing I would change. He is so thoughtful. He is giving. He's a great father. He's a great provider. He has a good sense of humor. Nothing that I would change. Then comes the question, what's wrong with me? Why am I so lonely? Nothing's wrong. No human being, no matter how perfect, can fill that void that only God can fill. God set it up this way so that we wouldn't get stuck here endlessly, that we would always feel unfulfilled, that there would always be something that draws us so that we get drawn back to God, back to our source. Guruji says, "The Lord has arranged it so that souls he has created can never be really happy until they are reunited with him. And so they will go on seeking something else until at last they turn to God, realizing that he is that something else for which they long." Now, when you read through Guruji's teachings, you will find hundreds of quotes where he says, "This will bring happiness, that will bring happiness, different things that will bring happiness." So I wanted to boil it down to a recipe that we could follow of just four things that if you're unhappy, you can go down the checklist of these four things and see, where am I lacking here? What am I doing that can bring me back to that joy of my soul? So these four things are choosing to be happy, self-control, service to others, and meditation. So let's start with the first one, choosing to be happy. Now, if I asked you all, do you really want to be happy? Mm-hmm. Sure, we do. But sometimes we do things that aren't in the best interest of our happiness. Some of our habits don't lead us to happiness. And one of those habits is not choosing to be happy. If you say, "I'm going to choose to be happy no matter what," you actually can do it. I remember when I was 4 years old, and right around that age, and it was the first time I realized I had a choice, and I didn't like it, because some people actually like to be miserable. Sounds crazy, but it gets them attention, and that attention gives them a little feeling of comfort. And so some people have based their identity around complaining or negativity or something because it draws people's attention. They want a little love. They want a little comfort. But this doesn't give us lasting happiness down the line. When I was 4, I wanted sympathy for having fallen and skinned my hands. My brother and I were running around our house, and I fell and I skinned my hands on the cement, and they stung. And I was just about to burst into tears when he said, "Look at me, I'm falling too." And he made crazy noises and he spun around in a circle and fell down next to me. And I was so startled that I didn't cry. And then he jumped up and did it again. And it was funny. And I resented that it was funny because my hands hurt and I wanted sympathy for my hands hurting. So in accusingly as a 4-year-old can be, I said, "You're just trying to make me happy," like that was wrong. And he said, "Oh no, I'm not." But I realized in that moment I have a choice. He was trying to show me. I could have a meltdown if I wanted to, but I didn't have to. I could change my thinking and I could laugh. Now, there are experiences in life that are way more painful than skinned hands. But still, if we've connected ourselves to God, if we have that sense that God is with us in our inner temple within, even when things are hard, there's a buoying up, there's a support, there's an inner happiness. Now, one might not say if they've just experienced some tragic family loss or something that they're happy, but they're not crushed. There is a peace within that remains untouched. by everything that happens in the exterior life. A few times a year, I check in on a well-known American talent show to see who the winners have been for that particular season, because oftentimes the stories are very inspiring from the winners of this show. And this last year, a 30-year-old woman took to the stage, and she had the most beaming, radiant smile, and she had light in her eyes that was just magnetic. But she was unnaturally thin, and her wispy hair showed that she was battling with cancer. And it turned out that she had been given a 2% chance to live. 2%. And here she's radiant and beaming. She sang her song, she sang it beautifully. And the judges were clearly moved by this young woman. And one of them commented on how strong she was. And she said, "I have learned that you don't have to wait for circumstances to change before deciding to be happy." It was such a powerful and beautiful message, and it made the judges cry. She was such a living example of joy in the face of something really, really challenging and difficult. I saw on the news a while later that she had passed, and her family said that she had a strong relationship with God. And I thought, there it is. There it is. That light of God showing through her smile, showing through her eyes, even in the midst of these dire circumstances. So this is the first, to choose to be happy, no matter what. Make up our mind. We're going to be happy. God is with us all the time. God loves us all the time. There's no reason not to be happy. So the second then is self-control. And I think oftentimes people, when you say self-control, they may think restriction, limitation. But Guruji says, self-control is the secret key to happiness. To have that power is to be master of yourself, so that you can say, "No, I don't want to do this thing," no matter how tempting it seems. Lack of self-control is the gravest sin against your own freedom and happiness. When your will is no longer enslaved by the likes and dislikes of the senses, you are a free individual. Now, it's important to understand that we are creating our futures with every thought, with every action. Who we are today, right now, is the cumulative effect of all of our thoughts and actions from the past. So who we are in the future can be determined by what we think and do now, isn't it? Yeah. The law of karma doesn't stop. We're always creating one side or the other. And if our mind has a habit of thinking negatively, we're going to karmically draw negative circumstances to ourselves. If our mind is on God, we're going to draw God-reminding individuals and circumstances and things to ourselves. But our minds often go into old habits, old ways of thinking, old ways of behaving that aren't beneficial to us. So we have to look at this and say, okay, what is it that I'm doing that gets in my way? Perhaps you have a habit of eating foods that aren't good for you. Too much sugar. too many fried things, too much food in general. Perhaps you have a habit of thinking negatively about yourself and others. We have to be so careful about our thoughts. When other people's flaws come into our mind, it's best to try to release them. Pray for that individual and release them, because you're actually contaminating your own being by repeating their flaws. Now, oftentimes, if someone's flaw bothers you, it's because you have a trace of it in yourself. So you may want to look and see, am I like that, and how can I change myself? But this is where self-control comes in, that when that flaw comes, that you think of someone else's flaw, that you can say, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm going to say, God bless that person, and I'm not going to harbor any ill will towards anyone. This is the power of self-control. But oftentimes we feel justified. He did this, she did that. We even have to go and tell somebody about it. Do you know what she said? Do you know what he did? Don't. Don't. Let it go. Have the self-control that says it's better to think of God and Guru. Swami Bhaktananda, this was one of his lines. He said when negative thoughts came into his mind, he said, I told my mind, it's better to think of God, of Guru. It's better to think of Guru. So get some self-control going, that you make this a habit, that you can do this. You know, we know when we're doing something wrong. We just have to get that won't power, that no power. Guruji says, anything you do that hurts the harmony of your inner being is wrong. To ensure enduring happiness, you should have that self-control by which you can say no, and it stays no. Analyze the causes of your unhappiness. Analyze the causes that create trouble with your wife or husband or friends. Find out the methods that can make your family life better. Try to find the remedy for whatever bad habits and inclinations you want to get rid of. Analyze the causes that retard progress in your business or the causes that involve it in failure. Above all, analyze your progress in contacting the infinite. Analyze your progress in contacting the infinite. Do not be afraid to make changes in your life after you have made your analysis. So you may want to make a list. Just sometime quietly sit and write down honestly, not in a way that you're beating yourself up or condemning yourself, but just thinking, what do I do or think that is in the way of my happiness, that's putting a blockade between me and God, between me and my happiness? Write those things down. Then look at the list and take one that seems the easiest and work on overcoming that one. Go into Guruji's teachings, find what he says about how to overcome that particular flaw. You'll find he has the answers in the teachings. Once you've had some success with this, you'll feel strengthened. You'll feel, I can do this. And then you can take the next one on the list, and so on and so forth. Don't try to do them all at once. It's too much. Take one thing at a time and feel that feeling of that joyous feeling of success, that you've managed to control your mind. Guruji says, the universal moral precepts are laws of God, not man. God has made laws for the orderly governance of his cosmic creation, and unless you know how to live in obedience to them, you will be punished. Not by God, but by yourself. Happiness and harmony of body, mind, and soul will all be gone. Isn't it better to rise above the ego's petty likes and dislikes and live honestly and morally? Isn't it better to rise above the ego's petty likes and dislikes and live honestly and morally? So first we have to decide that we're going to be happy no matter what. Then we need to take an action, look at our life and see what's in the way, and try then to eliminate those roadblocks that are in the way of our happiness. Next, third is service to others. Guruji says, learn also to be unselfish. To find happiness in making others happy is a true goal of one who loves God. Giving happiness to others is tremendously important to our own happiness and a most satisfying experience. Some people think only of their own family, us four and no more, and others think only of themselves. How am I going to be happy? But these are the very persons who do not become happy. All the great ones have said this. Lord Krishna said, O Arjuna, the best type of yogi is he who feels for others, whether in grief or pleasure, even as he feels for himself. Jesus Christ said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You've probably all had that experience where you give something to someone that they enjoy, and you feel the joy of that you've given. I had an art teacher one time in college, and his wife collected all kinds of beautiful art, and their house was filled with it. And a forest fire came through and burnt down their house, and they lost the entire art collection. And it was devastating for the wife. So she started collecting again. And she was proud of her collection. She got another beautiful collection. She was proud of it. And another forest fire came. This time, they weren't going to lose that collection. They were told they needed to evacuate. They got a huge truck. They loaded all the art, everything, the sculptures, everything into that huge truck, and they went back in to get their belongings, their personal belongings, and the truck caught on fire and burnt down, not the house. And she's told me, she said, you know, it took me two times of losing an art collection to realize how selfish I was. She said, I now collect art. I invite friends to my house. They see it all. If they comment on something that they love, they think is beautiful, they find that that's their next birthday or Christmas present, or I gift it to them. And she said, the joy I feel is nothing. I mean, it's way beyond that I felt from hoarding my collection for myself. So when we give, Guruji gave a little story in the book Man's Eternal Quest of a little incident. And I'll use his words here. This was here in India. He said, once a fellow college student accompanied me to the market to buy some pineapples. There were only two, and one was larger than the other. I bought both of them and handed the large one to my friend. He was so surprised. He thought I intended to keep that one for myself. A wonderful feeling arises within a person when he is considerate of others, thinking first of them. As soon as you are concerned for someone else, not only does he think of you, but God thinks of you too. If you are thoughtful, doing for others all the time, then even if you part with your last penny to help them, God will return even more blessings to you. So we're all connected in spirit, and serving others is serving our larger self. It's a blessing to have enough to share, and those who have enough and don't share will find that either they have a loss, like the woman I just mentioned to you, or they have to incarnate with a lack so that they understand what it feels like to have people not share with them. Guruji says, he gives this practical guidance. He says, make an effort to earn more so that you can be the means of helping others to help themselves. An unwritten cosmic law decrees, one who helps others to abundance and happiness will always be helped in return and will become more and more prosperous and happy. This law of happiness works unfailingly. But this law of abundance, this law of happiness, doesn't just apply to material giving. We can give of ourselves. We can give of kindness. We can give smiles. We can give encouragement. Guruji says, go out of your way to make others happy. You cannot please everybody, but to those who cross your path, give kindness and love. Never forget to smile. Not a mask-like smile without truth and sincerity behind it, but the honest, radiant smile that comes from a light, joyful heart. The smile that belongs only to the good and cannot be worn by the wicked. When I was a university student, there was a hill from the parking lot. There was a steep hill that I had to climb every day to get to the art department, and the pathway had switchbacks all the way up the hill, and it was only wide enough for one person. And so if you met somebody on the path, someone had to step aside. And I noted when I started going to school there that the people that I met on the path were not happy. They were not smiling, and they didn't make eye contact. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do a little experiment here. I'm going to smile and say good morning to each person that I meet on this path and see what happens. Some people loved it. It just brightened their day. But there were a few that would turn and face the canyon. There was one who would actually, if he saw me coming, he would turn around and go all the way back to the top of the hill to avoid having someone smile at him and him having to return it. And I thought, oh, how sad, so caught up in themselves that they couldn't even venture a smile. But most of them, 90%, 95% of them did. 95 of them enjoyed that. And in fact, you know, when you read about near-death experiences, when a soul crosses over to the other side for a moment, gets a life review, God doesn't say, isn't that great? You were a CEO. Isn't that great? You really did well materially. That's not what usually those souls come back saying. Usually they come back saying, a smile that I gave to a stranger. I opened the door for someone carrying something heavy. These little acts all throughout the day were what were pleasing to God. Why? Because we're giving. We're giving a little bit of ourselves in those moments. at another time, just a few years ago, I was in a grocery store, and I was in the line to pay. And I noticed that the clerk up front was miserable. She had the most grouchy expression, and I thought, wow, she has a position where she's helping one person after another. She has the opportunity to help people. She has the opportunity to brighten their day, and here she's got this terrible vibration going. And so I stepped into another line, and I started praying for her. And then I heard the man who came up to her say, "Well, it's clear that you don't like me." And she was shocked. She said, No, I don't even know you. I just don't like my work and I don't like to be here." And he said, "That's not my fault." And this is often what we feel. We don't realize what, if we're walking around with a sour face, we don't realize what the message is that we're giving to somebody else. So we want to be able to give of our joy, to give of our love, to give of our kindness, our thoughtfulness, and so forth. Guruji says, "In a time of misfortune, I heard thy voice saying, 'The sun of my protection shines equally on thy brightest and thy blackest hours.'" The sun of my protection shines equally on thy brightest and thy blackest hours. Have faith and smile. Sadness is an offense against the blissful nature of spirit. Let my life-transforming light appear through the transparency of smiles. By being happy, my child, thou dost please me. By being happy, my child, thou dost please me. Okay, so we've covered three: choosing to be happy, using your self-control, and serving others. And the fourth, most important, is to meditate. We're never, ever, ever going to be truly happy without that connection with God. Guruji says, if you meditate deeper and deeper, you will realize that you are becoming happier and happier every day. This is what seeking God gives the devotee. That happiness cannot be produced by anything else. Those who don't meditate cannot understand that joy, even if you were to give them 90,000 lectures about it. Only those who meditate realize that behind the conscious and subconscious minds, there is a land of eternal happiness. So those of you who are meditating know this. Those of you who have not started meditating, try to fit in a period of meditation morning and evening. It's essential to your happiness. And as we spoke about in the opening, we know it's difficult. It is challenging when you have work and family responsibilities and so forth. Sometimes it's hard to fit in even 15 minutes, but try. Try to fit in half an hour morning and evening, and much longer for those of you who have more time. You'll find yourself growing happier and happier with that depth of communion with God. It takes stillness in order to perceive God's presence. And if we're always keeping ourselves active, 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 then we miss out. God's there, right within us. And he says, "I'll wait. I'll wait till you want to sit down and be with me. Take time. He's your best friend. He's the only one who will be with you when you leave this earth. We leave everything behind. We want to forge that relationship with God now. It requires effort. We have to make effort. Nothing's free, and especially the highest goal. We need to make the personal effort. No one else can give it to us. Guruji says, through meditation, one can experience a stable, silent inner peace that can be a permanently soothing background for all harmonious or trialsome activities demanded by life's responsibilities. Lasting happiness lies in maintaining this evenly peaceful state of mind. Evenly peaceful state of mind. Make time for silent retreats. You all who've come here have made the time. You've carved that out of your active lives. And I'm sure you've all felt some benefit from this. Make time for it on a regular basis. And if there aren't sanghams that pull everyone together as a group, take a personal retreat somewhere, one of the YSS or SRF retreat centers, somewhere where you can be out in nature, somewhere where you can experience silence. Studies have shown that living in noisy city environments all your life shortens your life from between 6 to 12 years. It wears on the nerves. It wears the body down. We need silence. We need to be in the beauty of nature. So an invitation to all the women to come to America and come to the Greenfield Retreat. It's out in beautiful nature. But it is essential to have these periods of silence. If you can't get away from a city environment, we have the Om technique. Shut the sound out. Go within. Feel God's presence. So these are the four things that you can check if you're feeling unhappy. Turn it around. Make a decision. I'm going to be happy anyway. I'm going to feel that God is with me anyway. I'm going to have a positive response to this situation. Look and see, are you doing something that's creating unhappiness? Use your self-control to eliminate that. Get out and serve others. Help others. Meditate more. Before I entered the ashram, Swami Bhaktananda had been my counselor, my mentor for a number of years. And so I went to him and I said, do you have any last minute advice? And he said, oh no, you'll get plenty of advice in the ashram. And then he said, yes, one thing. When things get hard, meditate more. Simple. When things get hard, meditate more. So do these things seem doable? Mm-hmm. Good. I want to take a little time now to practice a visualization that Guruji gives. It's called a meditation on light and happiness. And interestingly enough, he starts it out by having us visualize a ball of darkness and expand a ball of darkness. But you'll see that it moves on and goes into light. Now, some of you I've spoken with say you have trouble with visualization. So don't think that if you have trouble with visualization, don't think that you have to actually be seeing this. Try to feel Guruji's words. Try to imagine what he's talking about if you have trouble with visualization. So let's sit in a upright position, eyes focused at the Christ Center. Take a deep breath. Exhale and relax. And then follow along. I'm going to read this slowly so that you have time to visualize each phase of it. Guruji begins. Imagine a ball of darkness. Now feel that the ball is expanding. It includes this room, the city, the state. Now that ball of darkness is expanding still farther. Now it includes your entire country. Ball of darkness all around India, or whatever country you're in at this time. Go on expanding that ball until it includes all nations, the stars, universes, the entire cosmos. Now imagine that the ball of darkness is becoming light. So we have a ball of light all the way out into the cosmos. Feel that luminous ball of light. Feel the luminous ball of light. It is swallowing everything. All space is a burning ball of flame. All space is a burning ball of flame. Now feel that ball of flame becoming a sphere of unending happiness. So the ball of flame bursts into unending happiness. You are that happiness. You are that happiness. Be that happiness. You are that joyous flame of happiness that has melted everything in it. You are that joyous flame of happiness that has melted everything in it. Keep visualizing this. And if you lose the visualization, go back to the ball of darkness, expand it out to the cosmos, turn it into light. Turn it into flame, have that flame burst into happiness and become that happiness. Be that happiness. one of the ways that we can serve others in a very great way is through our prayers for them. So let's take a few minutes now to pray for the world, to pray for those we know of who are in need at this time, to pray for our families, our large spiritual family, for all those who've asked for prayers from the prayer council, for all of God's children in need of his help. And then we'll do the healing technique in a few moments. Let's now perform Guruji's healing technique together. We'll do it seated. Heavenly Father, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all thy children. Manifest thy healing presence in their bodies. Heavenly Father, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all thy children. Manifest thy healing presence in their minds. Father, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all thy children. Manifest thy healing presence in their souls. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Bhagavan Krishna, Jesus Christ, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we bow to you all. O thou beloved Spirit, hiding behind the blue waves of the sky, behind the waves of light, behind the waves of all life, behind the waves of changing scenery, O infinite beauty, O infinite beauty of all beauties, O joy of all happiness, O joy of all happiness, O immortality, reveal thyself unto our consciousness. We bow to thee. We bow to thee. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. God and Guru bless you all. Jai Guru.